was there. Amen. He rose up and came into my heart. Amen. Praise God. Think of all the verses you could add to that. And one of these days in eternity, we'll sing, were you there when the rapture took place? Were you there when we rode down from heaven? Were you there? Well, it's good. Were you there when the devil got thrown into the lake of fire? Amen. I like it. Boy, that's good. Thank you, Don. That's a beautiful song. Appreciate that. Psalm 74, the question is asked in verse 10, O God, how long shall the adversary reproach? I want to talk to you about those two words, how long. Father, I pray you'll bless the preaching. I pray for your guidance today. Please give me your wisdom. Help me to say what needs to be said, and I pray you'll speak to our hearts. Give us what we need from thy word. Lord, often we ask you the question, how long? And I pray that you will give us some Bible answers today in Jesus' name. Amen. I can remember clearly when our children were very young and we would go on a long trip. And you all know exactly where I'm headed right now because everybody experiences it. You pull out of the driveway and immediately you're getting ready to drive from here to California. You know, and immediately the question is, how long is it going to take? When are we going to get there? You know, and I mean, if you just pulled out of your driveway from Michigan to California, it's discouraging even to talk about. I mean, it's going to be a long time. And then about every 5 minutes. Or the question, how long before we get to McDonald's? You know, boy, I'll tell you, you get tired of McDonald's. But I mean, just always asking how long. I mean, we're always wanting to know. I mean, you think about time is very, very important in the Bible. It seems like we never have enough time. The only time that you don't want there to be time is, for example, when there's a ball game and you're in the lead, right? And you want the time to go fast. And it seems like it goes very slowly when you're in the lead. And time is very precious. Of course, today we lost an hour. Somebody was telling me about that yesterday. He said, oh, you know, we lost an hour. That doesn't seem right. I said, oh, no. We didn't lose an hour. We just got the hour back, or we gave the hour back that we gained last fall. Oh. And they got real positive. So you can fake people out, but time. You know, we all think we need more time. We all think we need. I hear people all the time. Oh, if we just had, if we had 29 hours in a day, if we had 30 hours in a day, and you'd want 31. I mean, we wouldn't be satisfied. Time is a very important thing. I remember, when I was little, I couldn't wait to shave. Now I wish that time would have never come. I mean, it just, you know, it one of the pains of life is shaving. And I remember, you know, sitting with my friends and at 14 years old saying, I can't wait to get my license. Yeah, when I get my license, I'm going to be able to do that. Oh, you know, when we get our license, we can do this. We didn't think about insurance, didn't think about having to buy a car, didn't think about putting gasoline in the car. But boy, you know, we had to have that license. And now... driving up the alley is a little far for me sometimes. You know, it's funny. You know, time is such an important thing. And the words how long come up several times in the Bible. And I just want to look at those times that it comes up because we often ask God how long. Certainly we live in a day. I mean, we're watching history and you never think about your day as being historical, but it is. One of these days, if the Lord tarries, people are going to look back on this day and they're going to say, you know, and it's going to be in history books. Are you listening? Our days are going to be in the history books. And we always think of history. Oh, that's those people, old people way back. Well, we're making history right now. And if the Lord tarries, we're going to make all kinds of history. These are important days. They really are. And we find ourselves, and I find myself many times saying, Lord, how long? Well, let's just be specific. Here in Psalm 74, we have our first how long. And the question is, how long shall the wicked prosper? Do you ever ask the Lord that question? I mean, you ever find yourself saying, you know, God, how long are you going to let these people do these things? How long are you going to allow this to happen? Here in our passage in Psalm 74, the Bible says they break down the carved work thereof at once with axes and hammers. They've cast fire into thy sanctuary. They've defiled God's sanctuary. They've cast down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. And here the question is to God, hey, God, how long are you going to let them do that? How long are you going to let them blaspheme your name? How long are you going to let them destroy what you've built? How long? Is it going to be before this is all stopped? I think about that. I think of all the things that are going on in our world today, and certainly, with abortion, the way how long will God let that go on? I mean, you find yourself asking that question. God, when are you going to stop this? When are you going to stop the murder and the slaughter of these innocent babies? How long? How long? How long is it going to be before the liberals are silenced? Amen. How long before the cults are silenced? How long before the humanists are taught their lesson? How long before mankind realizes that we didn't come from little amoebas that just all of a sudden appeared? But there is a God who created everything. How long are we going to have to put? I mean, it's amazing that those kinds of things are taught as fact, and they don't have any clue of what the fact is of that. It's amazing. How long is that going to go on, God? How long are you going to let scientists laugh at you? How long, God, are you going to let scientists mock you? How long are you going to let the humanists laugh at the Christian and make fun of the Christian when they would have to have more faith to believe what they do than we do to believe what we believe? How long are the wicked going to prosper, God? It's very frustrating. It's very frustrating. Verse 7, it says, they have defiled by casting down the dwelling place of thy name to the ground. That's where we live today. God is mocked all around us. God's name is used in vain all around us. I mean, people will curse and swear. Women will curse. I mean, used to, you'd hear a man every now and then out in public. Now, you hear women will run off a string of curse words. It's unbelievable. Using God's name in vain, cursing God as they speak. How long is God going to let that go on? How long? How long will that go on in America? There are so many out to destroy churches like ours. I mean, there are people everywhere. There's legislation out there that if the wrong person gets elected as president, some of this legislation is going to go through. Are you listening? I mean, some of these things, this hate crime stuff is scary stuff. There are pastors in other countries going to jail because of legislation like that. In other words, you can't preach on sin. You can't name sin because that's hate. Well, you know what? I do hate sin. God hates sin too. And God names sin in the Bible, and God's not afraid to talk about it. This hate crime thing, you say, well, I don't think you ought to perform hate crimes. What kind of crime should you perform? I mean, isn't crime wrong? Who's to say whether you hate or not? And who's to say that you're doing something out of a heart of hatred? It's a dangerous, dangerous thing. And that hate crime stuff, that starts coming in. And you start preaching about abortion being murder. Oh, yeah. We'll have our own abundant pardon prison ministry inside. Yeah, led by the pastor and then the next guy that gets up and preaches that same message. Are you listening? This hate crime thing. But again, I ask the Lord often, how long are you going to put up with this? God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. With fire and brimstone, God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Just boom, like that. And yet we have immorality is everywhere. The internet is a cesspool of wickedness. I mean, it is unbelievable all the stuff that is on there now and all the wickedness that is going on. I mean, it is just amazing. How long is God going to let that go on? How long is it going to go on? And Satan is using these things to destroy the possibilities of churches like ours doing what they're supposed to do. You get silenced as a church, but these people can speak up. We get silenced from saying, from preaching a message like I'm preaching, and it's like, oh, you can't say that's hate. But these people can hate us and say it all they want. They can hate our soul winning. They can hate our bus ministry. They can hate our Christian school, and they can say all that they want. But speak out against a terrorist. I'm just saying, how long? I wonder how long God's going to put up with that. How long will he put up with abortion? How long will he put up with homosexuality? How long will he put up with people shacking up like barnyard animals? How long is he going to put up with that stuff? I just wonder. You know, I was reading something the other day, and somebody said, you know, I don't remember what it had to do with just the fact that, oh, we've been doing those kind of things in Europe for years. And I think, yeah, look at Europe. There's no revival in Europe. There's not too many good churches in Europe. You know, and it was some wicked thing. You know, we've been doing that for years and years. You know, how long is God going to let this kind of stuff go on? How long shall the wicked prosper? Notice here in verse 9 it says, we see not our signs, there is no more any prophet. You know, that really could be America. There's just not a whole lot of people preaching the Bible. America's not in revival like some people would want you to think. There's not a lot of preachers standing up and preaching the Bible today in America. It's just not happening much. There's a lot of feel-good stuff going on. There's a lot of warm and fuzzy kind of things going on. There's a lot of Barney Baptist kind of things going on where I love you and you love me and we're a happy family and kumbaya this and that. But there's not a lot of old-fashioned hellfire and damnation being preached. And again, that's one of the reasons why America's in the mess that it's in. It's tough. How long? I just wonder, how long is God going to let that go on? How long is wickedness going to prosper? Well, you know what? Wickedness is going to prosper until the wicked are saved or are destroyed. That is a very simple answer right there. I mean, when Billy Sunday went into a town, you know, when he left, the tavern closed. Why? Because the tavern owner got saved. That's why. You know, all the patrons got saved. That's why. I mean, really, the solution, folks, is it's not. Certainly, we need to vote right, and certainly, we need to pray for our country. But we also need to win people to Christ. That's what does away with wickedness. People get saved. Hey, before I got saved, I was a wicked person. I lived a wicked life. I would have been one of these people bringing America down. But God saved me. Now, the solution in America is the salvation of souls. Or God is going to take America, destroy America, as he did Sodom and Gomorrah. How long? How long? How long is it going to be? If you're here today and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to trust Christ. That's our message. That's the message to you. Our message is not clean up your act. Our message is not turn over a new leaf. Our message is you must be born again. And that's our message that needs to go out all over Lenawee County. It's not, hey, you know, get in a program and turn over a new leaf and get some counseling so you can know how to live. No, listen to me. You can't know how to live until you are a new creature. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. The solution for America's problem, as far as the wicked prospering, is get the wicked saved. That is the solution. Here's what happens. Look at Psalm 73:3. Here's what happens if we're not careful. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. You start asking, how long? How long are you going to let this go on, God? How long are you going to let drugs run rampant, people legalizing marijuana? How long, God? How long is that going to happen? And all of a sudden, Christians start to say, well, you know, God doesn't seem to be doing anything about this thing. They seem to be doing well. They're prospering. They're making lots of money. They've got nice cars. They've got nice things. And all of a sudden, Christian people start saying, you know what? Maybe we got something wrong here. Be careful. Be careful. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Let me tell you something. Be careful what you think. Moses was a very, very smart man. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, because he knew it was just a season. He knew it was just a season. Old Lot looked at Sodom and Gomorrah and he said, hey, well, I'll tell you what, that's quite the city there. Hey, that's quite the place. They got the nightclubs and they got all the lottery and they got all the money. And boy, I'll tell you what, that looks like a pretty good place for me to live. Yeah, and it was for a season. But boy, when the fire and brimstone came down and Lot was getting out of there, it wasn't such a great place anymore, was it? And I got news for you. You know, we can be enamored by the world, and we can be enamored by all their money, and we can look at that and start looking and say, hey, you know, the wicked, they're prospering. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time, and your alcohol will destroy your liver. It's a matter of time. Your alcohol will destroy your driving record. Or it'll destroy someone's life when you're behind the wheel. Just a matter of time and your cigarette will destroy your lungs. Hello? Just a matter of time and your pornography will destroy your marriage. Just a matter of time and your pornography will destroy your relationship with other people. It's just a matter of time and your pornography will destroy your mind. Just a matter of time and your pornography will put you in jail. As testimony after testimony after testimony, once you see it, after a while, that's not enough. And all of a sudden, you're in jail. Are you listening? Boy, I'm having a time of... Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. Just a matter of time and your money will destroy your faith because you won't need God anymore. It's just a matter of time. How long shall the wicked prosper? The wicked will prosper until they get saved or until God destroys it. That's how long. There will always, always be wicked. And you know, the only way that can change is people to get saved. The only hope for America, you know, we can say all we want about, well, the Republicans have the answer. Well, the Democrats have the answer. I'm telling you, God is the only one with the answer. And the answer is souls saved. The answer for Michigan is souls saved. That's the answer. You know, you want, you know, all you have to do is look around Berean Baptist Church, and I'm telling you, there are people here that have jobs that shouldn't have jobs. I mean, it's a miracle. It's amazing. You come to our men's prayer time and hear testimonies of people, God's blessed them with a job, or God's done this and God's done that. I'm telling you, we need that in Michigan. We need God to bless people with jobs. We need God to do something. But I'm telling you, He's not going to do it for the heathen. How long shall the wicked prosper? It's an interesting question. It's one to think about. And I'm telling you, the answer to the wicked's prosperity is prosperity will end for them. They need to be saved. They need to trust Christ. Don't look at that with envy. Number two, how long will the lost be blind? John chapter 10, verse 22. Turn to John chapter 10 and verse 22. How long will the lost be blind? What a frustrating thing when you think about unsaved people. Every now and then, you know, I'll talk to someone, they'll say, you know, I just don't see it. I just can't see it. And immediately I think about the fact, you know why you can't see it? Because you're blind. You're blind. Pilate, he asked Jesus, he said, what is truth? And I think, how ironic that is. He looks at truth right in the eyes and he says, what is truth? You know, he was blind. He didn't see truth. Truth stood right before him. He asked truth, what is truth? And he said, I just don't see it. You know, how long? I mean, doesn't it frustrate you? People are blind. They think we're nuts. By the way, some of you start to believe them. Some of you are starting to believe your relatives that tell you you're nuts. Some of you are starting to believe those around you, people at work, as they talk and they cuss and swear and they talk down about the Lord. And you start to believe them. They're blind. Don't you get it? They say, what is wrong with these people? I mean, Sunday's one of their days off. What are they doing going to church, wasting the day? But this makes the day. This not only makes the day, it makes the week. Amen. What? You know, they don't get it. Oh, you know, you give 10%. What? I mean, what's wrong with you? Are you crazy? No, they're blind. 10% is nothing. What a deal. What a deal. God gives me all this, and He lets me breathe, and He takes care of me, and 10%? Phew. And God provided the 90%. I mean, He provided the 100%. 10% is nothing. They think we're nuts. They're blind. How long will they be blind? John 10, verse 22. Look at it. John 10, 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the Feast of the Dedication. It was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. What a foolish thing. What more could Jesus do? I'm telling you, how long dost thou make us to doubt? Look what Jesus said, verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you and you believe not. Do you see it? I told you and you believe not. They said, how long? You're making us doubt. How long are you going to make us doubt? I mean, come on, Jesus. No, here's the thing. He said, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. In other words, you're blind. How long? They said, how long then? How long are we going to be blind? That's a good question. You know, the lost are going to be blind until they see Jesus. I mean, that is a very simple, simple answer. Do you understand? The Jews here saw the many, many works of Jesus. They saw the miracles of Jesus, but they didn't see Jesus. Are you listening? They saw him heal the blind. They saw him heal the deaf. They saw him heal the dumb. They saw him make the lame to walk, but they never saw him. You know, we live in a world that would love to have all the miracles, but they are blind to Jesus. I mean, it always is amazing to me when you're out soul winning and you talk to somebody about the Lord I like to have a good life and I like to have the blessings of God. Would you like to trust Jesus as Savior? Oh, no. Why? Why? How long will the lost be blind? They're going to be blind until they see Jesus. And you know, the only way to be able to understand, that's why your family that are unsaved, they don't understand you. Are you listening? They don't understand. They don't see it. I remember when I went to Bible college, my dad did not understand. Why? What are you doing? You're throwing away your life. To me, I was gaining my life. I was so excited, and my dad, who was unsaved, he just could not understand. My mom said to me, she said, well, I'll tell you what, who was unsaved at the time, she said, I'll tell you what, when you, and mom knew enough scripture to make her dangerous. You know any unsaved people like that? She said, when you sell everything you have and give it all up for Jesus, I'll listen then. Now, when she said that, I was working at RCA. My wife was working at the Chamber of Commerce. We had a new car in the garage. We had a nice little house that we had purchased. We were very, very young at the time. And I'm telling you, we had our plan for the future. I had no idea what mom said was going to come true. And the day that we drove to her town with our little U-Haul trailer in the back of our little Datsun pickup truck with everything we owned on our way to Bible college, I pulled in, I stopped, and I said, Mom, I opened up the trailer, and I said, look in the back of there. Just one of those short trailers. I said, look in the back of that. I said, look in the back of my truck. She said, honey, what are you showing me all this for? I said, you told me when we did what Jesus did and we left it all, that you would listen. And it was about 2 months after that mom got saved. Now, and you know, she was blind. She didn't understand. But when she could see and she saw Jesus, boy, she understood after that. People don't understand you. They don't understand tithing. They don't understand those kind of things. It's because they are blind. Look what they said to Jesus. They said, then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Just tell us plainly. And he did. He did. Over and over and over and over. Jesus said, I told you and ye believe not. I'm not playing a game. I told you, you just wouldn't believe. Well, if you're the Christ, if you're the Messiah, just tell us you're the Messiah. He said, I told you. I told you. A lot of people want great proof. They want gimmicks. They want all kinds of different things. He told them all they had to do is believe. You know, one of the most frustrating things with trying to win people to Christ is when you tell them all you need to do is believe. You just need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And they'll look at you and they'll like you're crazy. Like, that's too easy. Sounds like Naaman, doesn't it? Not Naaman Click. Naaman the leper. Sounds like, you know, okay, I've got leprosy, I'm going to die, what do I need to do? I'll go to the independent fundamental Baptist preacher, find out what I'm supposed to do. He said, all you got to do is go dip in the Jordan River 7 times, you'll be healed. He said, wait a minute, that sounds a little bit too easy. What do you want? I'm amazed how many people say, you know, you people, you talk about an easy salvation. If it's so easy, do it. If it's so easy, do it. Well, it's just too easy. Okay, well, then pray and ask Jesus into your heart. Well, that, you're blind. You're just blind. That's all there is to it. You ever had somebody tell you it's too easy? You ever have somebody tell you it's too hard? Yeah, they'll tell you anything and everything. The fact is, they're blind. They're blind. How long will the lost be blind? Till they see Jesus. By the way, they will see him. Philippians 2. Look at it here. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 10. They will see him. That in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Do you understand? Everyone will confess that. Everyone. I've said this before. You've heard it preached. There are no atheists in hell. There are no... Somebody said, oh, all the atheists are in hell. No, no, no. There. Once you, let me tell you something. There is a time you believe. You know there's a God. You know He is real, and they will see Him. They will see Him. Many want to have their eyes open without having faith and trusting Christ as their Savior. But you know what? The whole don't need a physician. Somebody needs to come to Jesus lost and on their way to hell and say, oh God, please forgive me of my sin and come into my heart and save me. I'm telling you, that's our problem. That's why America keeps getting worse and worse, because our pride is getting worse and worse. And by the way, the older a person gets, the harder it is to get them saved. That's why the bus ministry is the greatest deal in the world. I mean, reaching children while they're very young, it's the best time in the world. You try to win some lost person who's 75 years old. It's not very easy. They've been blind for a long, long time. And it is one of the most difficult things in the world. No, listen, how long will the lost be blind? They'll be blind till they see Jesus. And for some of them, that it'll be too late when they finally see Him. Number three, Isaiah 6 and verse 9. Here's another good question. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 9. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. How long shall believers witness? How long? Well, he says in verse 11, until there are no more people. Until they're all saved. What's that mean? That means we can't give up. Even though people are against us, and not everybody is, but so many are. Even though our government someday, I assume, will be against us. Even though loved ones often are against us, we need to keep telling them about Jesus. Do not give up. Do not quit. How long shall believers witness? Until the land is desolate. Until there are no more people left to tell. We cannot give up. I know, you know, the world has done everything they can to shut us up. You have no right to come and tell me. They have a right. They cuss and swear. I mean, you cannot go in public and be in public very long without hearing Jesus' name used in vain. I understand there's a law actually on the books here in Michigan that if a person swears, they can act, it's against the law. Yeah, but who's going to enforce that? You see what I'm saying? You kindly say to somebody, sir, would you, that's God. That's my Lord you're cursing. You're taking my Savior's name in vain. Hey, you blankety-blank religious nut! Boy, and it's not long and they'll be calling the police on you because you hate them. Yeah, as long, even when people persecute and those that are against God criticize, and when the by the way, isn't it amazing? The Muslims can get away with it. I remember clearly in Flint, Michigan. I can still see it. We would drive on the, I believe it was, I can't remember the street now, but on the north side of Flint, you'd drive there, and at every corner, there would be Muslims handing out their literature to people, right on the street. Try street preaching there. Well, preacher, it's getting tough. But God tells us, how long do we witness? Till there aren't any more people. Last time I checked, there's still people out there. By the way, they're not our enemies. They're people that need to be saved. I'm so glad people stayed after me. Well, I mean, you know, how long did it take for you to get saved? How long did it take for you to finally listen? How long did it take you for you to finally open your eyes and say, you know what, this is true? How long did it take? I mean, with me, I had people, and so many people in my life that would talk to me about the Lord. I remember rolling my eyes at them. I remember talking bad about them. I remember cussing them out. I remember telling them to go blank. I remember all those kind of, I mean, over and over again, and they just kept coming and kept giving me tracts and kept telling me they're praying for me. I'd say, you're wasting your time. How long do you tell them? I guess till they die. Is how long. My own dad said, son, if you say another word to me about Jesus, I'll disown you. And I'll not let you in my house. Are you listening? What, preacher, what do we do? You keep going. You just keep going. And I'll keep preaching Jesus and keep preaching salvation and keep preaching until there are no more people. How long? I mean, we'll keep running our buses, and everyone that gets on that bus will hear how to be saved. And everyone who gets on that bus will come to a Sunday school class, and they'll hear how to be saved again. And everyone that gets on that bus will not only hear it on the bus and hear it in Sunday school, but they'll hear it in junior church too. And they'll hear it in the auditorium as well. And they'll hear it as our workers knock on their door, and they go there, and they tell them, they'll keep hearing how to be saved. And they'll get pieces of literature that always has the plan of salvation on it. Why? Because we're supposed to witness until there are no more people. Until everyone's saved. You know, it seems like we'd go soul winning now because when we get to heaven, we won't need to. There won't be any doors. I mean, we can knock on people's doors, but they're all saved. By the way, that's a wonderful visit when someone is saved. That does work out pretty well. You can't stop. Well, you know, I didn't get any good results, but you can't stop. I mean, there are countries, I know in some of the African countries, missionaries would go and they'd go for 14 years before one person got saved. In East Africa, they went for 10 years in a particular area before one person got saved. In New Zealand, they went for 9 years before anybody got saved. In Tahiti, it was 16 years before anyone trusted Christ, but they kept going. You say, well, they're not going to have many rewards. I got news for you. They're going to have more rewards than you'd ever imagine. Amen. You know, my Bible says God is long-suffering. Amen. That's why America is still America. Do you understand that? That's why God hadn't destroyed America. I'm amazed at what we do and what is said. I'm amazed at the mockery of God that takes place in our country. I'm amazed at the apathy of us in our country. It amazes me, and God puts up with that. Seems to me like we would just keep telling everybody we can about Jesus and how to be saved. Number four, Revelation 6:10. It all leads up to this. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 10. I get kind of excited when I think about it. Revelation 6 and verse 10. Good question. They cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? How long before Jesus returns? How long? I mean, here, the context is one of judgment. How long before you deal with this, God, and judge? And yet, I've got people I know that are lost. I'm anxious for Jesus to return, and yet there's people going to hell. I'm anxious for Jesus' return, but there's some loved ones. I pray for my four cousins. I pray for them every day. Some I haven't seen for many, many years. How long before Jesus returns? You know, and it doesn't matter if we question it. Turn to 2 Peter 3. I made reference to this verse. Let's look at it. 2 Peter chapter 3. Second Peter 3 and verse 9, it says, The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. Yeah, you hear people all the time, well, you know, Jesus said He'd return. Well, He hasn't yet. Yeah, but He will. All He has to do is return once, and then that makes it true, doesn't it? Amen. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But, He says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. How long, Lord, till You return? Boy, that's going to be an exciting time. The rapture is the next thing to take place. It's just an exciting thing to think about. I'm telling you. All of a sudden, everybody's gone. Blink. Faster than that. Twinkling of an eye. It's faster than a blink. It's the twinkle of an eye. And every believer on the face of the earth is gone. And that starts the tribulation on this earth. Now, I know, you know, there's the rock groups make fun of that. They think that's a funny... There's not going to be anything funny about it at all. Not a thing. But I'll tell you, for the Christian, it's going to be a lot of fun. Just the thought is an amazing thing. How long? How long? You know, the Bible talks about signs of the times. It's so amazing. All those same signs are the same signs that I've watched since I've been saved. You know, the wars and rumors of wars. But again, we see that clearly now. I mean, there's wars all over the place. There's rumors of wars all the time. What about the oil? You know, see, you know, and it is expensive. It's tough. But I get kind of excited when that oil price goes up. I don't like it necessarily, but I'm excited because it is one of the signs of the times. Oil is going to be such a precious, precious thing during the tribulation. You gotta power that war machine of the Antichrist. Oh, the battles that have been fought over oil. Huh? It's a big thing. That's why the Middle East is so important. Money. You know, that worldwide currency that's going to take place. And one world government and all that. That's going to happen, folks. We can see it happening. It's happening right before our very eyes. I mean, you ought to get excited. I mean, it's like the Bible, lift up your heads, you know? Lift up your eyes. Your redemption draweth nigh. I mean, it's close. It's got to be close. We never could imagine a 666. And how could they implement that? Well, with computers, that's so easy now. The computer chips that are being put in animals and I believe in humans. Oh, yeah. Credit cards with computer chips on them that tells everything about you. Oh, it's exciting. The GPS, you know, a lot of you have to have that to find out if north is north and south is south. Brother Chase. Oh, I'll tell you what. Just look where the sun is, brother. At night, well, you're in trouble. But just go home. Amen. But But it's exciting. You know, and cell phones, they can find you. Well, I don't care if they do. Let them find me. I'm not anywhere I shouldn't be. Amen. Oh, it's exciting. It really is. You know, if you just use a little bit of sense and look around, you would recognize it's getting close. It's got to be close. Got to be real close. Leadership. Read the book of Isaiah. It talks about leadership where women run things. See, there's part of me that kind of hopes she gets elected. Just because it fulfills prophecy. Hello? I'm not going to try to make that happen. I can't say that. You never know what I'll do. If you listen to me enough, you'll know. But anyway, we need that tax exemption. It's exciting. We live in exciting, exciting times. And you know what? You say, how could people follow the Antichrist? Watch the primaries. Now, I'm not calling anybody an Antichrist. I'm just talking about gullible people. Go ahead, get mad. Go ahead, get upset. I didn't mention any political party. Just watch the primaries. Watch politics as a whole. And you will answer your question how people can follow someday the Antichrist. And they will follow him like sheep to the slaughter. And I'm just saying, we're ripe for the return of Christ. We America, anything the media says, we believe. We just believe it. Well, I started to say a name. Boy, you got to be careful. You know, that announcer, they're on there and they're so serious and, well, and this is the truth, and this is exactly what happened. Well, so-and-so said it on NBC. Such-and-such said it on CBS. Oh, no. And we believe all that stuff. You know, one of these days, the rapture is going to take place. And CNN and CBS and NBC and ABC and Fox, you know what? They're all going to have their spin. And you know what people are going to do? They're going to believe it. Before I got saved and I started really thinking about the rapture taking place, I clearly remember as a teenager, I remember thinking, well, I got this thing figured out. If the rapture takes place, then I will know that it took place and then I'll get saved. Until the preacher preached that God will send a strong delusion that they'll believe a lie. Yeah. And you know what? We're set up for that right now. Well, they can't explain the whole Berean Baptist Church except for a couple people. We're all gone. But I believe that's true. The Bible talks about the wheat and the tares. There are some unsaved people sitting here right now. Right. Scares me to death. Should scare you to death. But how would they explain? How, you know, they're going to come. You know, this place is a beehive of activity every day. We were talking about this yesterday in the soul winning meeting. I mean, what we do is not done in a corner. We're busy. Lights are on all the time. Things are happening. People are driving in and out. That's why nobody buy this house over here. The drive's too busy. You know, they just can't. They have no privacy. And I mean, things are always happening. There's always stuff going on. And all of a sudden, after the rapture, nothing going on. Nothing. It's just nothing. It's quiet. They'll say, well, they'll say some other religious organizations still are having their meetings. What is those people? And you know what? CNN will explain it all. Their favorite announcer will tell the whole story, have it all explained. I can hear it. It is reported that Martians, yes, Martians came in the night and took all of those weird people that believed in Martians anyway and took them away to their homeland. And all the people, they'll say, now that Carol Hawkins, we knew he was weird. Isn't that right, Brother Hawkins? That is exactly right. And they'll say, well, what about named another name? They'll say, well, that announcer, you know, very, very clear. That explains Mark Letson. We always wondered about the Letson family. There's no one there. You know what? They'll all believe it. And everything you left behind. You know, how many of you have stuff in your house, rapture pamphlets and instructions, the rapture just took place? How many of you have something like that in your house? Anybody? That used to be very, very, several of you do. It used to be very, very popular. You'd have, you know, in case I'm not here, read this. You know what? You're not going to be, it won't offset CNN. Because, and you know, we're set up for that now because we believe everything they say. We really do. Scary, isn't it? How long till Jesus returns? I really think it's not going to be very long. It's exciting. Let me close with this. 1 Kings 18:21. And that's, these questions were asked of God. But here's one that's asked of each of us. 1 Kings 18:21. Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. By the way, they're not answering was an answer. How long? How long halt ye between two opinions? How long? I mean, is God God? Or is he not God? Is he the Savior? Is he not the Savior? How long halt ye between two opinions? I remember being between the two. By the way, to not choose Christ is to reject him. To not surrender is to rebel. Amen. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, it's time we make some right choices in our lives. It's time we make some right choices as far as our relationship with the Lord is concerned. It's time that we, instead of you know, trying to kind of straddle, you know, the line, it's time we step over the line and say, you know what? I am, first of all, I'm going to get saved. Second of all, I'm going to serve God. I'm going to stand for Jesus Christ. I am not going to get in between and be a lukewarm vomit kind of a Christian. Because that's halting between two opinions. It's time to stand up and take, you know, hey world, I'm a Christian. I'm saved. I'm thrilled to be saved. And how long halt ye between two opinions? The people answered him not a word. Sometimes I wonder if there was, if I don't believe this is going to happen. It actually happens every day. We just don't recognize it this way. But if guards did come through those doors and say, all right, if you are a Christian, we're going to shoot you. Now, if you're a Christian, stand up. I wonder how many people would conveniently have to go to the bathroom. Oh, my baby's in the nursery. I know that thing's going off. You know, how many would just try to do everything you could to get out? You know what? You're halting between two opinions. You do it at work. They cuss and swear about Jesus, and you just stay silent. We do it in as far as the public is concerned. I mean, all this legislation, all this stuff, and we just stay quiet. We're halted between two opinions. It's time to stand for our Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to stand. You don't have to be obnoxious about it. You don't have to, you know, we just need to let people know He is our God. He is our Savior.